all across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio. This is Veterans Radio.
Good day. I'm Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today here on Veterans Radio, and thanks for joining us. We've got some interesting stories for you. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or at the web, veteransradio.org, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.org. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to NVBDC.org. We want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. And finally, PuroClean. PuroClean is the paramedics of property damage. It provides water damage remediation, flood water removal, fire and smoke damage remediation, mold removal, biohazard cleanup. It also has a focus on veteran franchisees. You can learn more about them by going to puroclean.com.
Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. And today we are going to look at the life of Cecil H. Bolton.
Okay.
This guy led a seriously double life.
Hmm.
So our sources today tell a story about a man who was both a really, really great boxer.
Yeah.
And a total war hero.
Oh, wow.
What made this guy want to be so good at such different things? That's what we are here to figure out today.
Right. Yeah, that is a good question.
Like most of us, we tend to think of boxing as, you know, individual strength and agility and speed. But war often calls for a whole team to work together and strategy and, you know, stuff like that.
Definitely.
So how did both of these experiences come together to form the life of Cecil Bolton?
It's interesting how you wouldn't really think that those two things would go together.
Right.
But maybe they do.
Yeah, maybe. So let's see. Okay, so Cecil H. Bolton was born in Crawfordville, Florida, way back in 1908.
Wow.
Yeah, and his family, they ended up settling in Huntsville, Alabama sometime in the late 1920s. Now, here's the thing. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Before the war, Bolton was a boxer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they called him Bushy Bolton.
Bushy Bolton. I love it.
I know, right?
That's great.
And get this, he wasn't messing around.
Oh.
In 1928, he had 37 fights.
What?
37.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of fights.
That's a lot of punches.
Yeah.
And he was also a referee, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
He knew the boxing world like inside and out.
It really sounds like he was, you know, at the heart of it all.
Yeah, he was a real local sports star.
Yeah.
His boxing career lasted 16 years.
Wow.
Which is amazing. And he was like a hometown hero in Huntsville.
Yeah, well, it makes you think maybe all those years he spent in the ring, you know, facing different opponents all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where he got his mental toughness from.
Right.
You know, like maybe that's where he learned to be so resilient.
Yeah, maybe that's how he was able to do all the crazy stuff he did on the battlefield later on.
Right, like a different type of training, you know.
Yeah, it's not something you'd usually connect boxing and, you know, being a war hero.
Right.
But you're right, maybe all those years boxing really did get him ready to be courageous.
And, you know, Bolton was also a really smart businessman.
Oh, yeah.
He owned a nightclub even.
Yeah.
And he managed some other boxers.
Mm.
He was a big part of the Huntsville community.
So not just a tough guy, but a real leader too.
Exactly. And I bet all that experience helped him become a great leader in the Army later on.
Yeah, you're right, because leading a bunch of boxers and running a business, you have to inspire people and come up with plans and make tough decisions.
For sure.
And those are all things that are important in war too.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got Bushy Bolton, the hometown boxing hero,
right,
a successful businessman, and a leader in Huntsville.
Yep.
Then 1942 comes along, and everything changes.
World War II.
Yep, and at 33 years old, Bolton gets drafted into the army.
Wow. Can you imagine going from boxing rings and nightclubs
right.
to like boot camp?
That is a huge change.
Yeah. What do you think? How do you think he dealt with that?
It must have been really hard.
Total.
But I bet even though everything was different,
yeah.
some things probably stayed the same.
Like what?
Well, in boxing and war, there's one main goal.
To win.
To win, that's it.
Okay.
And to do that, you need discipline and focus.
Yeah.
And you have to push yourself beyond your limits.
Totally.
And those are all things Bolton learned from boxing.
Yeah. So maybe those years in the ring gave him like a mental model.
Uh-huh.
For dealing with challenges.
Yeah, even if they're completely different challenges.
Exactly.
Like war instead of boxing.
And don't forget about his leadership skills.
Oh, right.
From managing those boxers and running that nightclub.
Yeah.
I bet that helped him adjust to leading soldiers.
Yeah, because in the army, it's not just about you anymore.
Yep.
You're part of a team and you're responsible for other people.
Exactly. So Bolton goes through basic training. Then he does really well at officer candidate school. Yep. And he becomes a second lieutenant.
Okay.
And then they assign him as a weapons platoon leader in Company E, 2nd Battalion, 413th Infantry Regiment, 104th Infantry Division.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is, isn't it?
So for someone like me who doesn't know anything about the military, what does all that even mean?
So basically, a weapons platoon is like a special unit within a bigger company.
Okay.
And they're the ones with the big guns.
Okay.
Like machine guns and mortars.
Oh, wow.
So in Bolton's case, that meant he was right there on the front lines leading his men into battle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the 104th Infantry Division. Get this. They had a nickname.
What was it?
The Timberwolves.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I know, right? Those nicknames are kind of like taking that team spirit from boxing and bringing it to the battlefield.
Right.
It's all about having that feeling of being a part of something bigger.
So Bolton, our boxer, is now Lieutenant Bolton leading a weapons platoon called the Timberwolves.
Yep.
What happens next?
Well, August 27th, 1944, the Timberwolves sail off to Europe.
Cool.
They arrive in France on September 7th.
Okay.
And by October 23rd, they're fighting in Voostvezel, Belgium.
So things move pretty quickly.
Very quickly.
And I bet the closer they got to the fighting, the more intense things got.
I'm sure it was pretty stressful.
Yeah. So that brings us to a really important part of Bolton's story.
Yes, it does.
November 2, 1944.
Okay.
The Timberwolves had just crossed the Mark River in the Netherlands.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as they do, they get hit with all this enemy fire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, no. It was really bad.
So they're like trapped and getting shot at from all sides.
Yeah, it was a tough spot. Two German machine guns had them totally pinned down.
Oh, wow.
And their mortars weren't doing any good because they couldn't see where the Germans were.
Okay.
So people were getting hurt.
Man, I can't even imagine what that must have been like.
It's hard to picture, isn't it? All that chaos and the fear and the noise.
Yeah, definitely.
And to make things even worse, mm-hmm. Bolton was already hurt.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, he had shrapnel in both legs, a bullet in his shoulder.
Oh, my God.
Another one that just grazed his mouth. And he'd even been knocked unconscious for a bit.
Seriously? You think that would be enough to make anyone give up?
Yeah, you'd think. Right. But not Bolton. Remember we were talking about how tough he was from all that boxing?
Right. Yeah.
Well, really came in handy here, even though he was all messed up. His first thought was for his men.
So like a true leader.
Yeah. He knew they were stuck and needed to get out of there.
So what'd he do?
He crawled over to his guys and asked for volunteers. And get this, he waded into this freezing cold water that was up to his chest to try to take out those machine guns himself.
Wow, he was already hurt and he's going to go put himself in even more danger.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it. He wasn't worried about himself at all.
Wow.
All he cared about was getting his men to safety.
That's incredible.
It really is a crazy level of selflessness.
Okay, so how did he take out the machine guns?
We got to the first one using grenades.
Okay.
Took it out. And then went back to his bazooka team to get the second one.
So he's dodging bullets and freezing in this water, and he's still going.
Oh, yeah. And he wasn't done yet.
There's more.
After they took care of the machine guns, Bolton realized there was this big 88-millimeter artillery gun that was just hammering the American lines.
Okay.
So he leads his bazooka team over to that thing, braving all the enemy fire and that ice-cold water again.
Man, this guy is unstoppable.
I know, right? He had such courage, and he was so strategic about it all, picking out the biggest threats and taking them out one by one.
Uh-huh.
And thanks to him and his bazooka team, they destroyed that artillery gun, which gave them a much better chance of surviving.
So he basically took out three major enemy positions all by himself.
Pretty much, yeah. And remember, he was doing all this while he was seriously wounded.
Right.
He actually got hit again during all this.
Yeah.
But he refused to get any help.
Why?
All he cared about was his men. He wanted to make sure they got out of there safely.
Man, that's just crazy.
And as he told his guys to retreat while he covered them,
wow,
he crawled back to their lines until he finally collapsed.
I can't even imagine what that must have done to him, both physically and mentally.
I know, it's hard to fathom. By November 7th, the Timberwolves had accomplished their mission.
Good.
But it came at a huge cost.
How huge?
They lost almost 1,500 men, 313 killed in action, and 103 missing.
Oh my God.
I know, it's a lot. Major General Terry De La Mesa Allen Sr., their commander, sent each one of his men a letter.
Oh, wow.
Congratulating them. And at the end of each letter, he wrote his motto, "Nothing in hell must stop the Timberwolves."
Oh, man, that gives me chills.
It's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really shows how tough and determined the 104th Infantry Division was. And it shows just how much they sacrificed.
And what Bolton did that day perfectly represents that spirit.
Absolutely.
He was given a Silver Star for his actions, which was later upgraded to the Medal of Honor.
Yeah. On September 4th, 1945, President Truman himself gave him the medal in this big ceremony at the White House.
Wow.
He was one of 28 heroes who got medals that day, including another guy from Alabama named Paul L. Bolden.
That must have been an incredible moment for him.
It must have been to receive that recognition after everything he'd been through. And he got other medals, too.
Yeah.
You know?
What else did he get?
Two Bronze Stars and two Purple Hearts.
Wow. So what did the Medal of Honor citation actually say about what he did that day?
Well, it's a pretty powerful document that really captures his bravery and selflessness. I think it's worth reading a part of it here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, it says, "As leader of the weapons platoon of Company E, 413th Infantry Regiment, 104th Infantry Division, on the night of 2 November 1944, First Lieutenant Bolton fought gallantly in a pitched battle which followed the crossing of the Mark River in Holland."
So it starts by setting the scene, you know, the craziness of the battle and how hard it was to fight there.
Exactly. And then it talks about how Bolton first tried to use the mortars to take out the machine guns,
yeah,
but they couldn't see where they were.
Okay.
And he kept directing the fire until he got hurt so badly that he was knocked out.
That's some serious determination.
It really is. He didn't give up even after being wounded. And then the citation goes on to describe how he took out the machine guns and that 88 millimeter artillery piece.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how brave he was and how he was a great leader and how he was thinking strategically the whole time.
It really paints a picture of what a hero he was, doesn't it?
It does. And it finishes by saying how he wouldn't let anyone help him. And he made sure his men retreated while he crawled back.
It's such an amazing story.
It really is a story about sacrificing yourself for the people you care about.
So what happened to Bolton after the war? How do you go back to normal life after going through something like that?
I know. It's hard to imagine going back to, like, everyday life.
Yeah.
But Bolton, he stayed in the Army.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even through the Korean War.
Wow.
He really dedicated his life to serving his country. And he ended up becoming a colonel before he retired.
So from boxer to war hero to colonel.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It is. It shows how he could adapt to anything and how committed he was.
Yeah, he wasn't just one thing. But his story, it doesn't have a happy ending, does it?
No. Sadly, Cecil Bolton died pretty young, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, he was only 56.
Wow.
He passed away at Brooke Army Hospital in Fort Sam Houston, Texas. January 22, 1965.
Man, that's a reminder that even the toughest guys...
Yeah.
They're still human.
They are.
So what happened after he died?
Well, he was buried with full military honors.
Okay.
At the Fort Sam Houston National Cemetery in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
And his wife, Bessie, she was buried there with him when she passed away in 1978.
That's nice that they're together.
Yeah.
It's a fitting tribute to a man who spent his life helping others.
Yeah, and his legacy, it lives on.
How so?
Well, in Panacea, Florida, where he was born.
Uh-huh.
They built a monument for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a permanent reminder of his journey from that small town to the battlefields of Europe and back again.
So we've gone from Bushy Bolton, this like charismatic boxer,
yeah,
to Lieutenant Bolton, the war hero,
right,
to Colonel Bolton, who served his country his whole life.
It's quite a story, isn't it? Full of twists and turns.
Yeah, it really is. And I think what makes it so interesting is that it challenges the way we think.
How so?
Well, we don't usually think of a boxer becoming a war hero,
right,
but Bolton's life shows us that those two things can actually work together.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that people are complicated.
Yeah.
They have hidden depths and they can always surprise us.
Exactly.
And I think there's something we can all learn from this.
What's that?
Bolton's story teaches us to look deeper than the surface to see that courage and leadership can pop up in unexpected places.
Yeah, I like that.
His life shows us the power of never giving up
uh-huh.
and putting others first.
And how strong the human spirit can be.
Yeah, it's a really inspiring story. I think we've done a good job of exploring the life of Cecil H. Bolton.
I think so, too.
From boxing to war, his story is all about bravery, determination, and always being there for the people around him.
It reminds us that heroes are everywhere, even in places we might not expect. So keep your eyes open and never stop looking for those incredible stories of bravery and resilience.
And on that note, I think we'll wrap up our deep dive into the amazing life of Cecil H. Bolton.
Sounds good.
Thanks for joining us, everyone.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows
by visiting us at veteransradio.org. That's veteransradio.org. We again want to thank our national sponsors, the National Veterans Business Development Council, NVBDC.org, Legal Help for Veterans, a veterans disability law firm with a national practice before the VA, can help you on your claims and your appeals. It can be reached at legalhelpforveterans.com or 1-800-693-4800. And PuroClean, a leader in property emergency services. It's the paramedics of property damage, providing water damage remediation, flood water removal, fire and smoke damage remediation, mold and biohazard cleanups. You can reach them at puroclean.com or 800-775-7876. We also want to thank our local sponsors. This would include the Charles S. Kettles Chapter of the Vietnam Veterans of America, that's Chapter 310, VFW Graf O'Hara Post 423, the American Legion Irwin Preskin Post 46 in Ann Arbor as well, the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System, and certainly the National Vietnam Veterans of America Association. You can be a sponsor by going to veteransradio.org, clicking on the About Us and our sponsors, and help us out. Keep this program alive for the 21 and 22 years. Keep us going for another 20. Thank you.